That's how you win. I told you last night it would be a four-quarter game. I didn't know it was going to be a little over four-quarter. Okay. All right. So, as I said last night, right, Alex, who has muscular dystrophy from Anoka, Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for letting me watch your practice last Saturday. It was fun. The players were nice to me and signed my Viking helmet. My grandpa said to expect good luck for you because you have used up all your bad luck already. So, one ball for Alex. And one ball for his grandpa. All right. Great job. Great job. Here we go. Bikes on three. One, two, three.
Bikes!
Welcome back. It's another edition of Everything Purple. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from Xfinity Studios at Winter Park. And that was the sound of Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer in the locker room delivering his post-game speech, always better after a win. The Vikings got their third win of the season in Tampa Bay, and they're looking for win number four against Washington this week as they head into their bye. This is Everything Purple, a 30-minute show where we highlight some of the best content that the Vikings Entertainment Network produced over the past week. And for tonight's show, we're going to kick it off with a Wobcast. We had Vikings tight end Chase Ford in the studio on my weekly podcast. The first question I asked him, tell us about that game-tying drive in Tampa Bay.
Last drive, you know, here lately, you know, between last year and then last week against Buffalo, it always seemed like, you know, it wasn't going our way. Mm-hmm. And then the only thing that I could think of was, hey, just, you know, go out there, let's get this done. It wasn't a lot of pressure, you know, all we needed was a field goal. We got Blair. Blair can kick it from 60 out if he needs to. So we just needed to worry about making plays and just get an opportunity at least to get 3 points on the board.
You made a bunch of plays in the game. You had six catches. So obviously something was working for you. You were in some sort of groove against this Buccaneers defense.
You know, the coverage that they played allowed me to get a few routes that were underneath, you know, linebackers and stuff, and I was blessed to make plays when we needed them.
You were talking yesterday on Monday in the locker room about how you guys have the team concept where if you're performing and getting numbers, it's probably the result of your teammates doing something well to provide that opportunity for you. So I would imagine that what you're thinking is, you know, if I'm getting 4, 5, 6 catches a game in the middle of the field, maybe that's going to open things up for some of my teammates.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Washington, they'll get in here and they'll watch this film, and then maybe what they'll think this week is, hey, we need to do something to try to stop them underneath routes to me and to Jarrett, and then that's when we'll be able to open it up and maybe get something big down the field.
Yeah. With Kyle Rudolph going out with an injury, you're seeing more playing time, but we like what we see from you, and hopefully we're going to get Kyle back, so you two maybe be on the field a bunch together once Kyle gets back and is healthy and ready to go.
Yeah, you know, that's really all up to North and what he wants to do. If that's what he wants to do, you know, 12 personnel with me and him out in the game, that'd be perfect. You know, that'd be good. We'd go out there and we'll get the job done. But if he wants to do 11 with Rudy or with Rhett or with whatever, man, as long as we win.
Yeah. What do you think's the best part of your game?
The best part of my game probably would have to say is running and catching. You know, mm-hmm. I want everything to be as in good, in my opinion, as my running and catching. You know, as far as my blocking, you know, and everything else that goes along with it. But if I had to pick one thing, it would be that.
Yeah. Was that something that you think came naturally to you? I think people think about a tight end in the NFL. Yeah, of course, they're good at running and catching. But tight ends have to do a lot more than that. They have to run blocks. Some have to play on special teams. So you think running and catching is your strength. Has that always been that for you? Has that been a natural thing? Or have you had to work hard at that?
No, it's always been a natural thing to me. I would have to say that it went back to, you know, baseball. Being able to judge, because, you know, if you can judge a little ball in the air, you should be able to judge a football mm-hmm. in the air, you
right.
know. So it's always been a natural thing to me, you know, it's a blessing that God gifted me with.
You played baseball when you were younger?
I played all sports.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, was your favorite one to play football?
No, it was actually basketball.
Okay, you're a big basketball player, huh?
Yes, I like the basketball.
All right, what position did you play in baseball?
I played everywhere.
Wow, okay.
There was everywhere. I played at least one game where I played at each position.
And then in college, did you play just football?
Yeah, I played just football in college.
All right. You went to the University of Miami. You're a Hurricane. And, you know, voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen and I have a big thing about Miami Hurricanes players. We love Canes because, you know, I mean, Hurricanes players have an incredible brotherhood. I mean, you hear about it all the time. They go back and train together a bunch. And so that's kind of where that was the genesis of our obsession with the Canes. But you're a Cane. It must be cool to be a part of that culture.
Yeah, it's definitely a brotherhood. You know, we got something special going on down south. And it all ties into Andrew Swayze, our strength coach, because he's a great dude. He gets a lot out of his players, and that's the reason why we always go back, because we know Swayze will get us right.
You know, we have a mostly new coaching staff here with the Vikings this year, and everyone's talked about and heard about it, Mike Zimmer and Norv Turner, but we have new strength coaches too. What do you think about our strength and conditioning program here? Because you were here with the previous staff, and they did a great job, but this is a new staff, so what do you think of them?
Yeah, it's a new staff. You know, Evan, he does a great job. It's different from last year, the way we go about things, in my opinion. But, they do a great job and they get a lot out of us.
What do you do on a Tuesday? So Tuesday is players' day off for a game on a Sunday. So you guys come in on Monday and you probably watch film and have a team meeting and kind of dissect the game that happened the day before. But Tuesday, what's your routine on a day off?
I usually come in and try to get a little treatment on my legs, my feet and stuff. And if I need a lift because I didn't lift yesterday, I'll lift today. And then other than that, try to get in the sauna and watch film on that week's opponent and try to get ready for that Sunday.
You grew up in Texas in a small town, correct?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Tell us about that.
Oh, it's perfect to me. You know, people always talk about, because I went to Miami and they always want to know which life I like better, you know, the fast life or the slow life. I take the slow life every day. In my city, you know, you got one red light, and then you got one grocery store, you know, but everybody knows everybody, and you can always greet people because you know them. You know, you can always have a smiling face and always be respectful to, you know, the people around you, and that's the reason why I like the small town life.
Yep, and then people who grow up in Texas have a lot of pride in growing up in Texas. And watching the Monday night game from last week, the Cowboys and the Redskins. The Redskins are our opponent this week. So watching that game closely, but Colt McCoy – played at the University of Texas and is from Texas, was playing, and they were showing his dad watching him in the stands. And so there you have a family who probably grew up rooting for the Cowboys, but they're in Washington Redskins gear, playing for the Redskins, cheering for the Redskins in Dallas Cowboys Stadium. That must have been pretty crazy for them, huh?
Yes, sir. You know, that's the same way with me. You know, everybody remembers the early 90 Cowboys. They won them three Super Bowls. They were winning games all the time. And, you know, it's America's team first and foremost, but Texas people really like the Cowboys. But at the end of the day, it don't matter. Whatever team you play on, that's the team you want to root for. You know, my family's Vikings fans now.
All right, good. Vikings fans in the middle of Texas somewhere, huh?
Oh, yes, sir.
All right, we play the Redskins this week. Have you gotten any studying done on the Redskins yet?
I watched the game last night, and they're competitors, man. You know, it took a lot for them to go in there, you know, with Colt. He was like the third string quarterback to start the year. You know, they got injuries. I think they said they have two rookie corners, but they fight hard, you know, and they came out of the game with a W. So it's definitely going to be a good game on Sunday.
Two teams coming off of overtime victories on the road, the Vikings and the Redskins. That's a pretty rare matchup. You think that's going to be tough on the Redskins playing on the road two consecutive weeks and then coming off an overtime game? That's going to be a little bit tough on them, don't you think?
It was a very emotional game last night. I'm pretty sure it was, because our game was emotional, and it didn't have the magnitude, you know, of a Monday night football game against the team with the best record in the league. But it probably was a little emotional. But they'll come in, you know, they'll try to get the head right and get ready to play us, because you know that's the same thing we're doing right now to them.
Yep.
You gotta. The win's nice, yeah, but you got to move on from that and go on to this week.
What are you gonna do during the bye week?
Hopefully I get to get back home to Texas to that small town I was talking about.
Yeah, that sounds good. Get some time off.
Yeah, yes, sir, hopefully.
All right, man. Good luck this week against the Redskins. Thanks for joining us.
All right, thank you.
Indeed, the Vikings do have their bye week after this week's game against the Washington Redskins. A late season bye, probably the one that most teams prefer. You get a chunk of games in early in the season, take a break, and then you can rest and recharge for that late season surge. We're going to have more show for you later. We're up against a break right now. Before we go, we want to remind you about some programming later right here on this network. You can join host Mike Musman along with Vikings linebacker Audie Cole for Vikings Country this Thursday at 6 p.m. from Jimmy's in Vadnais Heights. You could win great prizes, including a trip to the Miller Lite Touchdown in the Tropics in Cancun. Visit Vikings.com/Vikings Country for more information. And stay tuned right here because we have plenty more show to come. You're going to hear from Everson Griffin and get an update on some high-level play from Vikings rookies. Don't leave.
Two receivers left and right on third down, third and six. Bridgewater out of the shotgun. He takes the Sullivan snap. Buccaneers blitz. Teddy looking right. Fires right to Jennings in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown! It's Teddy Bridgewater to Greg Jennings. And the Minnesota Vikings lead 9-0. It's a 17-yard score. Teddy Bridgewater's second touchdown pass in the pros and the fifth this year for the Minnesota Vikings. To the backfield. Glennon goes play action. He rolls out to the right, looking deep down the field to the right. He'll fire that way, and it is intercepted by the Minnesota Vikings. It is intercepted by Captain Munnerlyn. His first interception with the Vikings, eighth of his career, and the Vikings have quickly turned over the error-prone Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Welcome back to Everything Purple. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. More show to go, but first, let me tell you about Taste of the Vikings. How would you like to help a great cause, sample great food and wine, and meet your favorite Vikings players? Join us at the Taste of the Vikings Tuesday, November 4th at the Depot in downtown Minneapolis. Proceeds will provide nutritious meals to children when school is not in session through the Vikings Children's Fund Summer Lunch Program. Visit Vikings.com/taste to purchase tickets today. And if you do so, one of the players you'll see is defensive end Everson Griffin, who's off to a monster start this season. He has 8 sacks on the season. That's third in the NFL. And if you go back to week 16 of last season, that's 10 games. No player has more sacks than Everson Griffin during that span. He has 10.5. He has a sack in 4 straight games. And he had a great game last week in Tampa Bay. But before he did that, he was a guest on Vikings Game Plan, where he was joined by host Paul Allen.
What a treat having both coordinators on Vikings Game Plan. We thank Norv Turner and George Edwards for joining us. And now we have the Xfinity Player Breakdown. It is one of the hottest defensive ends in the National Football League. His name is Everson Griffin. He had 3 sacks against the Buffalo Bills. Thanks for joining Vikings
Game
Plan. Thank
you. Thanks for having me here.
Sorry about the outcome. How's the 2-5 treating you so far?
It's tough. We are a better team than how we've been playing. And, you know, we just got to finish and, you know, just win the games when they're supposed to be won. You know, just finish. That's our biggest thing right now.
When you have a 3-sack performance like you had last week, is it a tempo thing for you? Or are you, like, in a zone? Or is it, like, the team you're going against and it's just all working well?
We had a great scheme going to that game. We knew the protection. We knew where we were going to hit them. And, you know, and just sticking to your rush plan, you know, I got a bunch of good defensive linemen that I play with. And without them, some of the sacks I had wouldn't be possible because they're flushing them to me. And, you know, Sharif, we run a tech stunt and I come free. So, you know, it's a combination of great scheme, you know, great defensive linemen that I play with and, you know, just having a rush plan to stick with it.
That's the play we saw earlier with defensive coordinator George Edwards. Everson has 9.5 sacks in the last 9 games. That's most during that time amongst players in the National Football League. What's clicking so well for you?
You know, like I've been telling people that, you know, this is my first year starting. So just getting adjusted to taking a full-time load, you know, playing 60-plus snaps a game, you know, a weekend. Just allowing myself just to stay in the zone and stay focused. And, you know, bad plays are going to happen, but just overcome them and, you know, and keep on pushing because it's a 60-minute game, 4 quarters. So you just got to keep on pushing to the very end and sticking with your rest plan.
You got a new deal into the season. What kind of pressure did that put on you?
A lot, man. You know, this is my job. This is what I do for a living, and I love what I do, you know. But when you go out and perform and have good games, you know, and it really makes you feel good. But the downside of that is losing, you know. I can have 3 sacks each and every week, but if we lose, it's no fun. We just got to keep on fighting, and, you know, and we're going to prove a lot of people wrong still. It's still early in the season, you know. We at the halfway mark, and we just got to keep on fighting and keep on working together as a team.
Do you feel you've become more of a complete defensive end, good pass rusher? You drop into coverage sometimes, too, and what about your game against the run?
It's coming, you know. I'm not where I want to be just yet, you know. I'm still learning the game, still learning how to take the full load, and it's still learning just the game of football, the schemes, the protection, you know, just studying more, breaking down a guy I'm playing against. But yeah, man, I feel like it's coming, and, you know, it's always room for improvement.
Everson also is a vocal leader, not only of the defense, but of the team. Do you embrace that role, and do you feel that you are a natural leader where people follow you?
Yes, I do. I feel, you know, I'm a type of leader that is going to lead, go out there, work hard each and every day, be on time, listen to what the coaches got to say and apply it on the field, and just try to lead the guys that way. And, we have great leaders, Chad Greenway, Brian Robertson, John Sullivan, Phil, all the guys, we just need to take over and hold everybody to a higher standard, because that's how good we could be. So we just got to keep on fighting and keep on playing together and having fun, and we're going to have a great outcome.
I know stability off the field is very important to you. You have a child. How important is that to you, and how does it stabilize your professional life?
Oh, man, just, staying at home, watching him, being with my wife, and just, not going out, and just having a family and, working for them. I do this because I love the game of football, but, I got to provide for my family, and I try to come out and do it each and every day to give them the best life possible.
That's Everson Griffin, a Vikings veteran, off to a great start this season. Two other players off to great starts this season are two rookies, quarterback Teddy Bridgewater and linebacker Anthony Barr, both taken in the first round of last May's draft. Both great picks for the Vikings. Teddy Bridgewater's come on for an injured Matt Cassel. He'll start his fifth game this Sunday at home against the Washington Redskins. And throughout the first four-plus games, he's had some up-and-down moments, but how about Teddy in the two-minute situation? He was very good in those situations against Tampa Bay. At the end of the first half, he drove us down for a field goal. And then, of course, at the end of regulation, he drove for another field goal that tied the game. And then, of course, you have Anthony Barr, who, for my money, is the leading candidate for Defensive Rookie of the Year honors this season. He's filling up the stat sheet. Almost every single statistical category, Anthony Barr has got at least one of them. And he got another sack last Sunday in Tampa Bay. And, of course, the game-winning play in overtime when he stripped tight end Austin Seferian Jenkins, recovered the fumble, and rumbled 27 yards for a touchdown. Vikings Beyond the Gridiron, it's a documentary-style TV show. It's an Emmy Award-winning TV show. It features Vikings personalities. Last week, it featured an update on the status in 2014 of rookies Teddy Bridgewater and Anthony Barr. Take a listen.
They came from all across the country, but they are linked together from 2 days back in May. Three draft picks, all making a big impact with the Minnesota Vikings. From a defensive star to the starting quarterback and the spark plug running back.
As the offseason went on, we realized, I think, as a team, that we had some pretty good players, at those positions. And, guys were forced into some roles. Obviously, Anthony's been a starter since day one, but the other guys were forced into some roles due to the injuries, but, that's what this league's about.
There was little doubt Anthony Barr would have a big impact on the Vikings' defense, but few figured he would bring this much success so early on.
Coming along, there's a lot of stuff I need to improve on, but I'm having a good time. I'm really enjoying it. I think I made some strides, and just got to continue to try and get better.
He's done an excellent job. He's a really smart kid that picks up a lot of things really quickly. He's such a great athlete. He can do a lot of things that not a lot of people can do. And he's just been a tremendous guy to be around and to coach. And I think the sky's the limit for him.
With 46 tackles and 2 sacks, Barr has been terrorizing opposing offenses all year long and has quickly made the transition from UCLA to the NFL. His play has been a big positive on a much improved Vikings defense, and he's quickly exceeding expectations at such a young point in his NFL career.
I was confident in myself, in my abilities, and I knew if I was given the opportunity to play that I would be able to help the team. And so I think I'm doing so, and I just got to continue to do that.
While Anthony is helping guide the defense, two rookies are paying big dividends on offense. Running back Jerick McKinnon came to Minnesota from Georgia Southern and has stepped in to fill a big hole as the team's leading rusher.
Feel comfortable with doing a lot of different things, like Coach Turner is asking me and the rest of the coaching staff. Anytime the coach asks me to do something, I'm going to do it the best that I can, whatever's best for the team and to help the team out first.
McKinnon takes the handoffs from a fellow rookie, quarterback Teddy Bridgewater, guiding the team underneath center.
I knew that, he had the physical abilities to play, but, he's got a real steady demeanor out there on the game day. And then just confidence. He feels like, we call play and he's going to make it work, and he projects that confidence, and the coaches and then his teammates kind of feel that as well.
Any rookie quarterback will see his fair share of ups and downs, There is no doubt the potential and upside is there with number 5.
It's a tough league, and you know defenses are going to make some plays. I mean, you know, even as a rookie, but even you look at some of these veteran quarterbacks that you know, play really well and then, you know, face a tough defense or get a tough matchup, and you know, they'll struggle sometimes from week. And you know, the one thing that I just say to Teddy is just, you know, your preparation and your confidence and your demeanor, everything, that can't change, you know. And you got to go out there every Sunday or every play anticipating it to have success. And then, you know, don't get too high or don't get too low, and continue on and, you know, stay with the plan.
While the season may not have started the way they wanted, the Vikings have added another strong rookie class who have been called into service and have stepped up when needed. The play of these 3 rookies has been a big bright spot and brings plenty of hope for the future.
Anthony Barr and Teddy Bridgewater, no doubt, off to a great start this season for the Vikings. I'm really serious. Anthony Barr is the leading candidate for Defensive Rookie of the Year honors. If he keeps playing at this pace, he's going to be the runaway winner. Even if the pace slows down a little bit, it'll be interesting to see if he can come away with that award. That would be fun to watch. Now, Barr and Bridgewater, not the only 2 Vikings rookies off to a great start in their careers. How about the play of Jerick McKinnon, rookie running back, who's filled the role of our starting running back from time he and Matt Asiata have a little bit of a timeshare at running back, but Jerick McKinnon has really flashed, a patient runner, and despite his size, he's diminutive, but he's also a very good inside runner. He's a physical runner. He can run between the tackles. He can also get outside and use that speed. He's been fun to watch. Shamar Stephen, 7th round pick, defensive tackle of the Vikings this past May. He stepped in and he's playing a lot of snaps and playing very, very well. When Shamar Stephen and Linval Joseph are both on the field together, very hard for opponents to run the ball. And then you have Jabari Price, a cornerback, also in the 7th round. He's played well on special teams and even getting some snaps in the Vikings nickel package. You'll be able to see all of those young players and all of our veteran players again this Sunday. They play the Redskins. The game is at noon, and you can catch it all across the Vikings radio network. Paul Allen, Pete Bursich, and Greg Coleman will have the call for the Vikings radio network. That's it for tonight's show. On behalf of producer Grant Ridpath, I'm your host, Mike Wobshall. We wish you a good night and leave you on a good note.
Here come the Buccaneers, 1st and 10 from their own 17. Overtime tied at 13. Glennon back to pass, zips it right, and it's caught by the man who caught the touchdown. It was Safarian Jenkins who fumbled it, and it's picked up by Anthony Barr for a game-winning touchdown! Safarian Jenkins with a fumble, and Anthony Barr scores the game-winning touchdown, and the Vikings will walk off